Hello, welcome to National Treasure Minute. This is the podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate national treasure 1 minute at a time. My name's Hugh from HughKeen.com.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're going to be talking about Minute 11 of National Treasure. Minute 11 starts with Nicolas Cage's character, Ben Gates, moving towards a wall saying, "This is it." And it ends with Nicolas Cage reaching for a frozen skeleton hand. But before we get to any of that, we first need to talk about why The Sound of Music is a Christmas movie.
Or not. Why it's actually really not at all.
So it's a Christmas movie because it has a Christmas song in it.
It's not a Christmas song.
And
your argument is already done.
And it's also shown on TV every Christmas time.
I never knew that. And so I don't think that's a widely known thing.
So I think Sarah has an invalid argument because she says it's the best musical and her favorite movie ever. But she doesn't even know that it's played every Christmas.
I think that my opinion is more correct because it's my favorite movie and I care about it more. And so that just means that I'm right, basically.
But it has a Christmas song in it?
No, it's not a Christmas song.
Brown paper packages tied up.
Literally, the only thing that makes that's not the only time that packages are wrapped up with string.
She says warm woolen mittens.
Okay, what if you have a December birthday?
What do you mean?
Well, you could get a brown paper package with your favorite things for your birthday, and you could be in December, and you could need mittens.
You wear mittens for Christmas time.
You wear other times, too, as we just had a foot of snow.
Okay.
Let us know what you think.
We're going to agree to disagree.
If this was YouTube, I'd say, leave your comments below.
Yep.
With an accent.
Also, subscribe and like if you're on YouTube.
Yeah, and turn on the notification bell.
So you never miss an episode. Okay, now that we've settled that.
Did we settle it? I feel like it's just another unsettled agree to disagree moment. Is that settling it? Is that the same thing?
Since I was right, we're going to move on to the next part. So the first thing I had for this minute was that him opening the door to the cargo bay, which is what when he says this is it, he's talking about the cargo bay.
Cargo hole.
The cargo hold?
Hole. Maybe he said hole. I don't know. Maybe it was
hold. He definitely said hold if he said a whole word.
Oh, that makes sense. Because I think I Googled this and it said hold and it was like, do you want to change it to this? And I was like, no. But anyway.
Okay. Okay. So cargo hold is what he finds. And I said that him opening the door to it seemed really easy, especially when you consider that it's been frozen for however many years.
Yeah, I can't even get my car door
open.
Yeah,
that's
sometimes
exactly what I thought. I was like, we've been having trouble getting into our cars recently. And he just sort of like flips a knob and pulls up a lever and then yanks the door open by himself.
Must have done arm day.
And also in the minute before this, when they were opening some doors to get down to that level of the ship, they were using like ice picks to pry them up, remember? So it's just sort of funny that now it's just simple for him to open a door.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Good point.
Do you have anything about him opening that door?
Nope.
Okay. So once they get into the cargo hold, the music builds up right when he's opening the door. Music comes in, and it's a build-up until he opens the door, and then the music just stops. It's pretty anticlimactic because there's no, like, gold or treasure or anything just, like, sitting out in the open when they walk into the hold.
I need to start paying more attention to music because, well, I had thought about it whenever I was listening to your episodes from The Great Escape.
Oh, yeah.
Check it out. And you were talking about music for something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like it's just sort of like, I think I notice it. I just don't associate it with anything.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a scary movie type of thing.
Yeah.
Or scary scene.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people don't. Like, the majority of people who watch a movie, the music is in, like, the music is a unconscious enhancement to their movie experience.
Yeah.
And that's really what it should be. If it's like, if the music's done well, it should be enhancing the movie so much that you don't notice it, right?
Yeah.
It just increases the experience. And I think it does in this movie. The only reason I'm noticing it in like this specifically is because we're watching it minute by minute. So I have the opportunity to pay attention just to the music.
That's true.
So the music builds up, getting us prepared to expect something once the door opens, and then it dies once there's nothing in the room, because there's no surprise or anything. And then Riley says, do you think it's in the barrels? I think that's what he says.
Something like that, yeah.
He's like, well, do you think it's in the barrels? And then they have a pullback camera shot where the camera is almost back against the wall of the ship, and it scans from it pans from right to left, and it's when it's panning, we're panning behind like poles and like gear of the ship, really close by, like we're sort of like we're moving through all the gear that's like been hanging in the ship, and we can see the characters behind it. So I just thought that was sort of a cool camera shot. Did you have anything about that segment of the minute?
I'm going to be honest. Since we watched it approximately 2 days ago.
You've already forgotten.
I've already forgotten it, except for the brief notes that I took.
Okay. I'm going to keep going through the minute, and if we get to a part you have notes about, then...
That's sort of my plan for this one.
Okay.
Because I didn't have a lot anyway.
So after we have that camera shot, panning camera shot, then we have a shot of Ben Gates is just walking through the ship. And there's a bunch of cuts here. It cuts between Ben walking around the cargo hold and then Ian splitting open top of a barrel and then dumping out and reaching in and pulling out gunpowder. And he says he lifts it up, a handful of it, after it dumps out, and then puts it to his nose as if to smell it, and then puts his hand down, and then he says...
Gunpowder.
Gunpowder, yeah. Which is like, thanks a lot for that. It really, yeah. Like, I don't... It seems like we were talking about in the last minute about there being dead bodies in the ship. It's sort of like every ship... probably has gunpowder in its cargo hold. So for us to like need him to say gunpowder, like for him, the audience doesn't need that observation, I guess. It would have been better if he'd used some sort of dialogue of like something about there not being treasure there, as opposed to just telling us it's gunpowder. You know, I don't know. I feel like it's a missed character moment. And as we've been watching this, I keep realizing that the bad guys are actually written really stupid. Like
they're not
their characters are written non-intelligently. Like the things they say, they aren't very developed as characters, I guess. They're just bad guys, you know. Anyway. So he says gunpowder, then we get cut back to Ben Gates walking towards a skeleton that he sees on the ground, and it's got a cornered hat on it. And he just, because of that, assumes that that's the captain, I guess. And he says, why would a captain be guarding this barrel? Or why would the captain be guarding this barrel? Because the skeleton's like sort of wrapped around one barrel, and it's got his gun in one hand, like ready to shoot.
I have a theory.
Okay.
That I just came up with about 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
That skeleton was the same one they used in a previous minute, because I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure both of them, you can see their teeth.
Okay.
And I was like, why are their mouths open? I feel like that's something that I noticed both times. And then when I was just thinking about it, because that's one of the few notes I wrote for this one.
You don't, yeah.
And I was like, why? It must be the same one.
Huh.
Because why they would both of their...
the prop, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. It would save them on resources. But I'm just wondering if, like, do you think maybe the people's, like, lips had deteriorated, so they just didn't have anything to cover their teeth with?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know how frozen dead bodies work.
Yeah, I don't know either. Well, we know that if bodies are frozen and they're preserved that way, then and there's no like wind or water or anything like eroding them, that they're just stuck how they were when they died. So that would then it would be like, yeah, why can't you see their teeth? Because if they had their mouths closed when they got froze, their mouths would just always be closed, and like unless they were the lips were eroded away.
I don't know, like their mouth. It could have been like that. I don't know why. I don't know why it would be like this, but it could be that their lips were still there. There was just like they were showing their teeth, you know.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I don't know why they would be doing that. Why they would, yeah. When they died.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some questions about that too, but first we'll go back to the gunpowder part real quick. I wrote, does he really have to smell the gunpowder to know? Like. Can he, by visualizing and by picking it up and it falling through his fingers, does he, and the fact that he's in a ship's cargo hold, not tell him enough to think it's gunpowder?
Yeah.
Or like, could it have been, did he think it was going to be spice, some sort of spice or something? Or like, I was just sort of like, why did he have to smell it?
Dramatic effect.
Also, how
this
well,
movie, this
how well
movie
does
is
your
built on dramatic effect. And that's another note I have for later on. They just... make everything
they make everything up?
No, I was gonna say make everything more dramatic than it needs to be, but I was trying to think of a different word, but my limited vocabulary has prevented me from that. But
see,
anyway,
let's see. My other thing was, do you like, how well does your nose work when you're in that cold of an environment? Can you still
probably
smell
not.
Stuff well?
Well, I guess I don't know what gunpowder smells like. Is it really strong?
I don't know. These are questions I have because I've never like needed to smell gunpowder.
I feel like it would probably have to be pretty strong if it was that cold.
Yeah.
But it could have been. I don't know.
All right. Yeah, and then we continue on. We get to this captain who's guarding a barrel, and my question, and Ben Gates' question is, why would the captain be guarding this barrel? But I have a better question. Why would the captain be guarding this barrel? Why? Here, let's play the scenarios out. Was there a gunfight, and everyone died together? And so they all shot each other, and then they all just froze where they were, and that's why he had his gun out and guarding a barrel. And if there was a gunfight, but not everybody died together, then did he kill everybody and then just sit there and freeze with the barrel? Or if somebody shot him and he died, why didn't they take the barrel and then he was frozen there by himself? Or was he the last one on the ship to remain alive and everybody else had frozen to death? And then he like was just decided to go sit in the cargo hold and guard the barrel. I'm just so confused how he got to this scenario, because it's like they're all going to die.
Because we don't know what happened to the ship, right?
Well, we know the ship got caught in a storm and it stuck them out on the north in the Arctic and they all froze and died there.
So you think something else happened besides them? Oh, what you're
saying
is like, if they're all gonna die, if they're all gonna freeze to death, why is
nobody's
he guarding
getting
it?
Nobody's getting off that ship alive, right? Everybody's gonna freeze to death. They at some point they all would have known that.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's no reason for the captain to ever try to guard that barrel, and there's no reason for anybody else to try to steal it, because none of them are gonna, with the technology they had, if one of them stole it and left the boat, they would have just died a mile away on the ice.
Very good point.
So
yes,
I'm just like, why would the captain be guarding this barrel? Why is the captain ever guarding this barrel? Who was trying to steal it from the barrel? Like, if they were having a gunfight and then he won, once he killed everybody, he just froze to death. So why was, but if he'd killed everybody, why is he still hugging the barrel?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. The only thing it does is serve the narrative, and it makes me really frustrated whenever writers will just be like, oh, we need to solve this problem, so here's our solution, but it actually doesn't make any logical sense.
Yeah, you're right.
So, anyway, that was just sort of frustrating me. Sorry I ranted there. I just thought it was funny that Ben Gates, like, asks a question, but he only answers one part of it. Like he's asking it because he wants to know, why is this barrel important?
What's in the barrel? Yeah.
But I'm asking it because I want to know, what was the captain doing? What? Like, so, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Spinoff movie, and it's the history of the Charlotte.
It's building up to this moment.
Yeah.
We get a whole movie just to find out why the captain was this way.
Or a Disney Plus series or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Okay.
Next
yeah.
project. I don't know. Another comment below.
Are we going to write it together?
If you'd be... No.
You have to write it with me if we're going to do it.
I can't... No.
Okay. Well, I guess
I'll be involved in the movie making.
Which part? You're going to cast it?
I don't know. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Did you have anything else for this minute?
No, just another example of dramatic effect when at some point at the end when Ben is walking around like he's like walking on eggshells, or like somebody's going to be on the other side of that door going to shoot him, or like he's like acting really like, if I just walk really slowly.
You're saying
really
during
quietly.
This minute he does?
Yeah, I think at the end of it. Wrote it down.
I mean, yeah, he is walking carefully.
But he's just like, I don't know, whatever. Annoyed.
Okay. We'll be taking auditions for a new co-host.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for a new movie.
One that actually likes Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I guess I should get my act together if we're going to have him on.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah. I'll make sure you're not around when I do this.
We will be casting for our new movie that hasn't been written yet.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
So I have the screenplay, which I think we visited last minute. and I'm just going to read this scene up until the next minute of what they had in the screenplay so we can see what's different.
The whole thing? You're reading the whole minute?
Yeah, I'm going to read because it needs to be read.
Okay.
It says that the three sidekicks of Ian finish securing the ship while Ben, Riley, and Ian climb down into the ship. So it was originally just the three of them going down instead of the sidekicks coming along. Ben says, Riley, you take the berthing quarters. Ian, take the captain's cabin. I'll take the cargo hold. Ian says, I'll take the cargo hold. Ben says, suit yourself. Ian rises, moves to the ship. Riley shoots Ben a look. Riley, you dog, you wanted the captain's cabin. Ben says, hey, we're all just looking for the same thing. Riley says, fine. Then I want the captain's cabin. And Ben says, sure, whatever you want. And then Riley studies Ben, and he's completely confused. And he says, okay, forget it. You're trying to trick me. I know it. I got the berthing quarters. You take the crappy captain's cabin. Then they walk around a bit. We get cuts of like everybody moving through the individual room that they were assigned to look through. Ben goes into the captain's cabin, and he finds a trap door in the captain's cabin, which drops him down into the room where the scene we're looking at right now originally took place. And he finds the captain down there. They're all on radio headsets with each other. Riley finds dead bodies alone and freaks out, and they all hear it over the radio comms. Then Ben is looking around in the room that the trap door led to. And he finds the captain, and blah, 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 blah. He gets the thing out of the gunpowder, like he does in the minute we're watching. Then Riley enters the captain's cabin and doesn't see Ben, and then Ben yells from down in the trap door, and he's like, down here. And then Riley jumps down there, and he's like, you found it. And then I'll stop there for now till next minute. But it's just sort of interesting. Originally, it was only going to be the three of them searching the ship, and then they were all going to search it separately instead of in a group. And then, oh, yeah, there was when they're talking on the comms about Riley finding the dead sailors, Ben laughs to himself and he says, what did you expect? You're in the birthing quarters, which I thought was funny because last minute I said, what did you expect to find in frozen ship? So the fact that they had that in the original script, I thought that was funny. I also thought the interaction between Riley and Ben was funny when at the beginning where they had it written that Riley thought that Ben was trying to trick Ian into going into the wrong room. And then he thought that Ben was trying to trick him into going into the wrong room. And I just think that would have been a funny interaction to have in the movie that's not there now. So it's just interesting to wondering how we like how movies go so different from the screenplays sometimes. Did that make you think of anything?
Nope.
Okay. Do you have nothing else for this minute then?
Nope.
All right. The last thing I'll say is that I was able to guest host, or I was just able to be a guest speaker on The Great Escape Minute, which is the podcast like ours. It's a minute by movie by minutes podcast. It's produced by a guy named Movie Rob. and he's doing the whole movie, The Great Escape, minute by minute. And I got to do like minutes 156 through 160, I think. And that's not even near the end of the movie. Well, it's near the end of the movie, but it's not very close to the end of the movie. And so it's still going on right now. And so you can go check that out. You can find him on Facebook. The Facebook group's called The Cooler. If you want to join that, and you'll see he posts daily. So you'll get a minute of The Great Escape every day. So you can go check out the minutes I'm on. And he's had a bunch of other people who actually worked on the production of that movie and people who are like war veterans on that podcast and stuff. He does a lot of good work. So go check that out. And we'll talk to you next minute.
Thanks for listening.